Welcome to The Practical Spin, a podcast encompassing everything practical and not so practical. A podcast about mindset, decisions, spirituality, and the human element. And now your host, Justin Bailey.
Hey guys, welcome back to episode number 2 of The Practical Spin. This is actually going to be our first technical episode. Our first episode was actually an introductory episode, so this is going to be our first real true episode. Today we're going to be covering things such as goals and aspirations in life and things that that we as human beings are really struggling with, especially with this whole COVID thing going on. You want to get up and go after and chase after something that excites you and gives you purpose, finding goals in your inner drive to motivate yourself to be a better person. And we're going to go over techniques and plans to go by to better yourself and how to stick to a plan to go with those goals and not to digress and go back to your old ways. So that's what this episode is going to be all about. I hope you stick with me. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a fun episode. Hopefully you get a plethora of ideas, a real grasp of how to apply some of these techniques and methods in your life and give you some inspiration. So let's dive into this. All right, guys. So one of the first things that we want to look at when it comes to goals and drive and giving yourself purpose and, aspirations in life is one of those really big negative, nasty terms that we hear a lot about in life, especially in this society. And me, myself, coming from a military background, you hear a lot. And that is the word lazy or laziness being applied to a person or a group of people. And we're going to talk a little, just real briefly, about laziness. So this is actually a quote from Abram Wice. He has a PhD. He's from Psychology Today. And he says, quote, "We shame people into doing things that we want to do by making them believe they're lazy when they are not doing what we would like them to do." And again, that's a quote from Abram Wice, a PhD from Psychology Today. So I'm going to say it again. So, quote, "We shame people into doing things they don't want them to do by making them believe they are lazy when they are not doing what we like them to do." So essentially what he's saying there is a complete society breakdown here. It comes down to the basic generalization that, if somebody is not doing something that society wants them to do, then society itself is deeming them to be lazy. So if you want to go out, and your goal and aspiration is to chop 15 pieces of wood to make firewood, and that's for your family, and that's your goal for the day, but that's not contributing to society, it's contributing to your family, then by society's standards, you're being lazy. So we really have to understand the difference in what society deems to be lazy, and what laziness actually is. Being lazy is a particularly shameful it's a shaming label in our culture. We're in America, we're a country founded by Europeans that were fleeing, oppression, in a station of life that was limited by one's birth, basically in order to find religious freedom, in which hard work could be overcome by not any obstacle, where anyone could become, basically anything from a millionaire to a president. I mean, you look at some of these politicians, you look at some of these athletes, you look at some of these people that, Bill Gates, started Microsoft in a garage. Now he's a multi-billionaire. America gives you, opportunity, regardless of what people want to say about it today. Americans see work, especially hard work, you know, as the great equalizer, or at least we used to, you know, and most people, you know, we admire, you know, industry over ability, if that makes sense. I'll say that again. We admire industry over ability, because if you're not succeeding in something, you know, in society's viewpoint, if you're not succeeding at something, it must be because you're not trying hard enough, right? You know, if you're not succeeding, you know, if you're given 110% and you're not succeeding, it must be because you're not trying hard enough. It must be because you're lazy, right? I mean, that's the whole general consensus here, right? I mean, that's society's label, you know, which is the shameful idea of the culture that we live in. You know, if you're not succeeding, you must be lazy. And that's just not true. You know, so people really need to realize and understand the difference between what being lazy is and what, you know, actually, you know, your abilities and what you're applying to your own life actually comes to. So, you know, how do we actually define laziness? You know, more often than not, society perceives someone to be lazy when they're not doing what they think they should be doing. You know, which goes back to Abram Weiss, you know, his quote. You know, an example is asking your kid to mow the lawn, and then coming home to find that they haven't done it. You would instantly label them as lazy, instantly, you know, without finding out why, you know, your child hasn't mowed the lawn. There may be a complete legitimate excuse. Maybe your kid fell down the stairs and broke his leg and he's laying at the bottom of the stairs, but you came home, you pulled in the driveway and the lawn wasn't mowed. So immediately you jump to a conclusion, you know, and I'm not saying you're wrong here, but there's always a cause and effect, correct? I mean, that's just the way I see it. You know, laziness often carries a negative connotation to it. In fact, a common synonym for it is a sloth. You know, you see a sloth, you know, which is an animal that is just, it moves so slow and it just doesn't ever seem like it's accomplishing anything. But in the sloth world, it's always accomplishing what it wants to accomplish. It always has its goal. You know, its goal may be for the day to get from one branch to another, so it can sleep for the next 12, 15 hours, whatever. But essentially, it reaches its goal, correct? So is it really being lazy? It reached its goal. It accomplished what it wanted to accomplish. But maybe in society's eyes, it's lazy. But that would be incorrect, right? You know, there's a lot of different variables here. You know, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines laziness as, you know, the dictionary definition is to black and white and doesn't take into account physical ability, emotional ability, mental ability, etc. You know, laziness is the disclination towards activity or exertion despite having the ability to do so. Now, this goes back to the whole idea of your kid mowing the lawn. Now, if there is no legitimate excuse and you ask your kid to mow the lawn and you come home and the lawn hasn't been mowed and your kid's upstairs playing video games or watching a movie or out riding his bike or playing with friends in the neighborhood or, you know, whatever the case may be, and your child has the complete physical capability of accomplishing the task that you asked of him or her to do so and has the ability, you know, the ability to actually do what was asked of him or her to do, then that could be, you know, defined as laziness, or it could be defined as many other things. It could be, It could be defiance. It could be rebellious. It could be other things. But sure, laziness could be factored into that as well. So, you know, laziness is a lack of real purpose, you know. You know, purpose is essential in giving meaning to your life. You know, without it, you know, without giving purpose to your life, you know, we wouldn't really be motivated to do anything, right? You know, I mean, it's just, that's kind of how it is. So basically, in conclusion, because I don't want to just beat this up the whole way through, laziness is merely basically, it's like a negative label that we use on others to shame them into doing what we want them to do. Or doing, you know, what we feel like they should be doing. And again, that's a society issue. You know, it's not necessarily an issue of them being lazy. I think that's more of a society issue. Now, there are exceptions to that, but I think in a lot of terminology, it's a society issue. But there are a lot of exceptions where, you know, laziness does come into play. You know, in reality, laziness is when an individual, you know, a person has no goal or isn't willing to put in the effort, you know, to reach that goal, you know, if they even make a goal to begin with, you know, which we'll talk more about. But more importantly, it can also be seen as, you know, like the perception of the goal not being worth the effort. You know, so if a person says, oh, I got a goal to be able to do this, or this is the goal that I have, but, you know, the reward is not worth it, or maybe there is no reward other than a thank you, then I'm not going to do it. Well, then, yeah, that's pure laziness. So that's going to kind of open us up into our next topic of goals themselves. You know, why do people these days, in general, why do they not set goals for themselves? You know, the general saying, you know, in the older days is that you should set a goal for yourself every day. You should have a daily goal, a weekly goal, a monthly goal, a yearly goal, and so forth and so on. So why are people failing in today's society to set goals? Why are we just trying to get by on a day-to-day basis? Why are we not setting goals? Because when you set a goal and then you achieve that goal, it is a huge, huge mental accomplishment for yourself, and it makes you feel so much better when you achieve a goal. So let's talk a little bit about goals. You know, why do people not set a goal? You know, a big reason that people, you know, fail to set goals, I believe, is, you know, that people lack the belief that they can actually achieve significantly more than what they have. You know, and that's, it's a sad thought, you know, but it's true. You know, people actually believe that they can achieve significantly more than what they currently have. They don't believe that they can achieve the goals that they want to actually set for themselves. Now, that's not surprising, as we're creatures of our own circumstances, and we form our beliefs based off of the circumstances of our own environments. You know, so that's nothing that's not, you know, it's not new. It's not anything that's not, you know, that's uncommon. You know, if you've been nurtured to not set goals, then it's understandable that you're going to find yourself, you know, doing so, you know, in terms of not setting goals. If you've never been taught to set goals, you're not going to set goals. So, you know, if you raise your children, or if you've been raised to never set goals, you're not going to set goals for yourself. You know, if you don't have goals in your life, or if you've never set goals, why would you start to set goals now? Maybe you need some motivation to do so. You know, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Another reason that people go through issues with goals is people set the wrong goals. You know, a lot of people, this is going back to what we talked about earlier, they set goals that they feel that society expects them to set for themselves. Society plays such a huge part in our lives. We allow society to dictate so much of our lives, and it's sad. You know, so people set goals when they do. A lot of the times, they set goals that they feel that society expects them to set for themselves. I mean, this is one reason why there's so many unhappy professionals. You know, their goals, you know, that they set are career-minded goals. Or their goals that people set that are forced goals that were forced upon them that were set by their families. Their standards and goals that were, you know, set forth by their family that they feel like they need to adhere to because of standards of their family. And they feel like they have to live up to that. And when they don't, their mental capacity and their mental depression and everything else just seems to break down. So then they fail to continue to set goals because they feel like a failure. And then there's no inspiration, there's no drive, there's no, you know, anything to feel the need to continue to set a goal because you continue to fail. So, you know, there's a lot of negative connotation as to why we as people don't set goals. You know, a lot of people set goals that were supposed to be set, rather, you know, that they felt were supposed to be set rather than ones they actually really wanted. You know, and this goes back to career, family. So they're setting goals for themselves based off of society, based off of their jobs, based off of family, and they're not actually goals that they want for themselves. And that's not how we should live our lives. You know, we should set goals for ourselves that are proper and motivational, that are going to reap the rewards for ourselves on a personal level. Now, there's nothing wrong with setting a goal that's going to accomplish something that is going to feel good as long as it lines up with the merit for your career or something with your family, as long as you full-heartedly 100% agree with it. I'm not saying that that's wrong. What I'm saying is that we should always have goals that are designed specifically driven and mentally for ourselves. Always. I mean, there's no bottom line to that. You know, people are so disappointed, you know. Why are so people so disappointed with the goals they set? Because, you know, they end up setting a goal. If you set a goal that you're going to climb Mount Everest and you get halfway up Mount Everest, well, a lot of people just settle. They don't go all the way through or follow all the way through with their goal. They settle on their goal. They get halfway up Mount Everest and they say, okay, well, it's good enough. I did enough. I didn't reach my goal, but I made it halfway up. So that's good enough. So I'll settle. And they get some sense of gratification out of that, but not the gratification as if they would have made it all the way up the mountain. So they settle. A lot of people settle. And ultimately, even though they may get a brief sense of gratification out of that, they're ultimately disappointed in the end. You know, people also don't set goals because they feel like if they set their sights too high and they don't accomplish it, they'll feel like they have a fear of disappointment. So they're fearful of setting goals. A lot of people are fearful of setting goals. You know, they've been trained. People are trained, typically, are trained from childhood to be realistic and practical. Realistic and practical. So, if you're realistic and practical, then if your goal is to one day climb Mount Everest, what do you think, if you're let's say you're a low-income family, what are the odds that you think that you're going to be able to, number one, make it to Mount Everest on a vacation, and number two, have the money to have a guide or have the equipment to actually be able to climb it? So are, even though that may be something that you would want to do in the back of your mind, and that would be a goal that you would want to set for yourself, is that a goal that you would ever actually set for yourself? Man, I personally, I don't think you would. Even though you would want to set that goal for yourself, I don't think that you would, because you're trained as a child to be a realistic person and a practical person. And in your mind, that's not realistic and it's not practical. So you never set that goal. So you never strive to reach that goal. So it's something that goes to the grave with you. Something that was never achieved, something that was never tried, something that was never attempted, something that was never saved for, something that was never even a true goal. You know, another thing is, again, going back, is people are afraid. People are afraid to go outside of their comfort zone. That's a big thing. They're afraid to go out of their comfort zone. You know, let's use the analogy of people, you know, somebody wants to set a goal that they want to skydive. That would be a goal in their life, that they want to skydive. Well, if you want to skydive, but you're terribly afraid of heights, when would you ever actually set the goal that you're going to skydive? Because you're afraid to go out of your comfort zone, so would you ever actually set that goal? I mean, it might be something that you would say, hey, I'm going to put that on my bucket list. I'm going to do it sometime in my life before I die. But would you ever do it? Would you ever go outside of that comfort zone to actually put that on your bucket list? Would you ever actually set that goal to go outside of your comfort zone? That's a problem that a lot of people face, you know. Another thing is people are afraid that they simply can't do it. You know, that when they don't reach their goal, you know, if you set a goal for them that you're going to do something from a year from now and then you don't accomplish it, you're afraid, again, going back to society or your friends or your family, that people are going to ridicule you, that you didn't do it, that the goal was too big for you to achieve. And then you're going to feel disappointed. You're going to feel ridiculed. You're going to be, you know, chastised. You're going to feel you're put down. You know, all these things go into why people don't set goals. You know, another reason is just typically people just want to live their day-to-day lives. But goals are so important because the endorphins that it gives us, the accomplishments, the sense of accomplishment that you get when you actually perceive the perception and the understanding and the feeling when you get when you accomplish a goal, even if it's something so small as saying, you know what, I haven't done the laundry in 3 days. It's really stacking up. But you know what? Today or tomorrow, I'm setting a goal and every single piece of that laundry is getting washed, folded, and is going to be put away by tomorrow. That's a goal. Sometimes you have to start small and work your way up. I'm not saying you got to jump out of a plane tomorrow, but you got to start somewhere. So let's talk about tips on finding a goal. You know, some things you could do is you can list, take a piece of paper, you know, open up a notepad on your phone, open up your computer, get a journal, you know, list down things that are important to you. You know, let's talk about things that are important to you. Let's talk about how to build some goals, you know, and then ask yourself why each item on the list is important to you. Why is it important to you? You know, use the whys of why you listed things that are important to you to identify your values. You need to identify your values, so you need to know why these things on your list that you've written down are important to you. And then you should use your values at that point to actually physically set your goals. You know, make them bite-sized and achievable. Again, going back to the laundry episode, bite-sized and achievable. Don't start big, start small. The small rewards will lead to bigger rewards. Make them positive. make sure you understand and know that when you reap the rewards of that goal that you accomplished, that feel-good mentality that, hey, I cleaned that room of the house and it looks so nice and it feels so good to you know, have that, meet that goal and have that accomplishment, that it feels good. Feels good to have that done and out of the way. And that room of the house is clean and it's nice. It's positive. You know, set your expectations. And also realize that sometimes throughout your life, your goals can and will change. You know, because let's be honest. If I go back to the example that I gave earlier about jumping out of an airplane, you know, if you get to a certain age, you know, you may not want to jump out of an airplane. It might not be the most healthy option for you, you know, once you get to a certain age, or maybe you start to have some health issues, and it might not just be the best option for you. So your goals, you have to realize that they can change. And that's not a bad thing. But if your goals change, it doesn't mean that you should eliminate your goals. It should just mean that you should replace them with something else that's just as good or better. Don't eliminate what you have. Just change and adapt. You know, having goals gives us focus. It allows us to measure our progress. It motivates us to stay on track with things that we want. You know, they serve goals serve, you know, like as a check and balance. You know, if something that we're doing isn't helping us to, you know, to reach our goals, then why are we still doing them? You know, if something that we're doing isn't helping us to reach our goals, then why are we still doing them? You know, that's a great question that you should ask ourselves. You know, some other tips, you know, to motivate yourself, basically to be a better person and to, you know, apply these goals, is to acknowledge your strengths and weaknesses. You know, when you go to look at your goals, acknowledge your strengths and weaknesses. Take responsibility for your actions. That's another thing. Take responsibility for your actions. Forgive and let go of your grudges. Forgive and let go of your grudges. I mean, these are more tips to make yourself be a better person, but these are also good things to help build on your goal list. You know, apologize for things that you've done that are wrong. Always admit up to things that you've done that are wrong. I've done plenty that's wrong. Haven't always admitted up to it. Don't think that I'm some, you know, Justin Bailey, I'm some guy sitting behind a mic right now doing a podcast, that I'm some perfect person, because I am far from it, guys. Far from it. You know, we should actually listen to each other too. You know, it's not always about my opinion is more valuable than yours. We should always be open-minded. We should always listen to what the other person has to say, because you know what? At the end of the day, you could learn something from somebody else. It doesn't matter if you're 72 and the other person's 14. I've always heard a lot of stories that old people can learn stuff from young kids. So that's something to think about as well. You should also respect yourself. Respect yourself. I don't care what you've been through. Well, I do. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Doesn't matter how others have treated you. But this is a turning page in your life where you should respect yourself just as much as you respect other people. If you're respecting other people on a level of 10 and you're respecting yourself on a level of 2, then we've got some problems. You can't respect other people on a level of 10 and a level of yourself on a level of 2 and expect to be able to take care of yourself. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to be able to set these goals and accomplish them. You have to be able to respect yourself to be able to set these goals and accomplish them. You know, to always take advantage of the opportunities, you know, that are going to come your way when it comes to setting these goals, that are going to allow you to grow and change as a person. because when you set goals and you accomplish them, it's going to allow you to grow and it's going to allow you to change as a person. That's huge. Huge. When you accomplish things and you grow and change as a person, that's extraordinary. That is a beautiful, beautiful gift from God that we were given, you know, to be able to accomplish things and have a sense of accomplishment and grow and change as a person. And the last biggest thing here, you know, is to just embrace the journey. You know, embrace the journey. Really, truly embrace it. You know, set these goals. Set those daily goals. Set those weekly goals. Set those monthly goals. And as you grow, and as you accomplish them, embrace it. Love yourself for it. Give yourself the credit where the credit's due. When you fall short, because you will, because we're humans, it's the human element. When you fall short, mark that goal up for the next time. Don't erase it. Know that you can still continue to go after that goal. Now, I'm not encouraging you. I'm not giving you a free pass here. I'm not saying, hey, I can put that goal off for another week. I can put that goal off another month. I can put that goal off another year. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if you set a goal for a week and you don't accomplish it in a week, then you should say, okay, I wasn't able to make it this week, so I need to make it by next week. Don't be a procrastinator. Don't procrastinate. Be a pessimist. Don't be a pessimist. Don't be a pessimist. Don't procrastinate. You know, you always, always, always have to push forward in life. So, we're going to get into the next section here in a second, but we're going to take a quick break here. Be right back with you.
Psst, you. Yeah, you. Are you enjoying the show? Make sure you never miss an episode of The Practical Spin by clicking the subscribe button right now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. So we're going to talk a little bit now about how to stick to a plan. So we're going to talk about these goals that we've been talking about a little bit. We're going to talk about how to stick to some of these goals. So again, as we talked about a little bit before, we want to write down these goals. We want to actually allow yourself to visualize them clearly. I think that writing things down, whether you want to write them down on a journal, a notepad, a notebook, some people prefer to type them out, maybe even put them in your phone. Maybe you have an app in your phone that you want to type them out and put them in a place that you can always go back and reference them. I think that's very important. But you always want to be able to go back and reference your goals. So always allow yourself to have a place that you can go back and visualize your goals and visualize them clearly. I think that's very important. So another way that we can stick to these goals is to make SMART goals. You know, you want to be specific. You want to be measurable. You want to make your goals achievable, realistic, and time-bound. So specific, you know, goals... going back to some of the examples that I used previously, you know, drying your clothes, taking care of your clothes, cleaning a room in your house. You want to be specific, you know, you want to say, okay, well, I want to make sure that this room gets dusted and vacuumed, or, you know, I want to make sure that this, all of this laundry is taken care of. That would be a specific goal that would either be a daily goal or maybe a weekly goal or something like that, depending on, you know, what your schedule's like or, you know, how things go. That would be a specific goal. It would also be a measurable goal, depending on your schedule. You know, you don't want to overwhelm yourself with a goal that's not achievable. That would also be going back to achievable and realistic. Excuse me. Also, a time-bound goal. So, you know, you don't want to set a goal... You know, if I want to set a yearly goal And let's say that I want to, in a year, well, you know, if I want to set a goal in a year to hike Mount Everest, and I'm going back to an example that we've used previously to continue to use continuity here. But if I want to set a goal to hike Mount Everest and reach its peak and hike back down, you know, I don't necessarily think that setting that goal within a year would be a smart, achievable, realistic, or a measurable time-bound goal to be able to set. And the reason that I say that is because I don't think that I'd be able to reach that goal within a year. So I have to be cognitive of the fact that that would not be a time-bound goal. So it's very imperative that you think your goals through when you write your goals down and make sure that you're being cognitive of what your time-bound goals are. You want to set deadlines for your goals as well. Now, this goes back to your time-bound goals, but you want to set deadlines for your goals. And again, if you're setting, you know, if you're taking your baby steps and you're setting your goals for, you know, your daily goals, your weekly goals, or whatever the case may be, you want to set your deadlines because you want to be able to meet your goals by those deadlines. If you don't set a deadline for your goal, then you're able to procrastinate and carry that goal out over a period of time and continue to carry it out and carry it out and carry it out and carry it out. And inevitably, you'll never reach that goal. So setting timelines and deadlines for your goal are important, whether it be a short-term or long-term goal. You know, seeing what goals, you know, you were able to accomplish already, you know, and being able to mark them off is what's going to motivate you to work towards attaining the other goals that you've already put down and that you've already listed. You know, as you achieve goals and as you accomplish goals, the endorphins and the accomplishments and the sense of accomplishments that you're going to get from accomplishing those goals is going to make you feel that much better. So as you achieve goals and as you're able to mark them down and as you're able to continue to progress and as you're able to put a check mark through it or draw a line through it, you're going to feel that much better. So actually being able to visualize and actually putting a line through it or putting a check mark through it, visualization is key. It's huge. So I really encourage you that if you're making a goal list to be able to, you know, being able to mark those off and have a visual effect when it comes to setting your goal. You also want to, when it comes to setting your goal, you're automatically going to be mentally stimulated in terms of a reward for accomplishing your goal. You're going to feel great. You know, when you accomplish a goal, you're going to feel amazing because you're going to be like, wow, I actually did it. You know, I set this goal out and something I've been wanting to do, something I've been wanting to take care of, and I finally did it and it feels great. That's rewarding in and of itself. Another system that you can do is you can set up another reward system in addition to that for yourself. You can think of small rewards to give yourself. Maybe there's something small you've been wanting to get yourself, buy yourself. Maybe some time you've been wanting to take out to actually sit down and read a book, or, you know, little things. But think of small rewards that you can do to give yourself. This things like this will also, you know, allow yourself to stay motivated when it comes to giving yourself rewards for reaching your goals. But again, you're going to feel 10 times better for reaching your goals just on their own accord themselves. You know, so another thing that could be, and it's not for everybody, but another thing that could be potentially helpful. If you're married, you have a spouse, you have a best friend, a really good friend, maybe a pastor, having accountability in a partner when it comes to having a goal. If you are comfortable in sharing your goals with somebody, whether it be a spouse, a friend, a pastor, a family member, whatever the case may be, having accountability and sharing those goals with them and having that other person check up with you and saying, hey, how's it coming? How you doing? You know, are you progressing towards that goal? How are things going? Having somebody to motivate you and having accountability with you with your goals could really be beneficial to some people. Now, again, that's give or take. It's not for everyone, but it could really benefit some people on a certain spectrum of certain different levels. You know, that could be beneficial for those that are having trouble completing their goals alone. You know, having a friend, a mentor, you know, a job coach or whatever will help remind you of your deadlines and encourage you, you know, whenever you face any type of setbacks, you know. So that could be something that is potentially very helpful in terms of, you know, if you have somebody that can help hold you accountable, that's something that's very, that could be very useful as well, if that's for you. Again, it's not always for everyone. So another thing that we want to talk about is how not to digress back into your old ways. That's a huge issue for a lot of people, you know, and this doesn't just come into, you know, setting goals. This is a human element issue. A lot of people digress back into their old ways, whether it comes to setting goals to, you know, if you had decided to, I don't know, maybe stop using foul language and you started again, if you smoked cigarettes and then you started smoking cigarettes again, maybe you dieted, you lost weight, you gained it back. You know, a lot of people digress back into their old ways. So let's talk a little bit about ways that you cannot digress back into your old ways and develop some of those bad habits, that we go through. You know, when you've spent a long time heading in one direction, it's easy. It's actually very easy to forget that the other track is there. You know, there's a lot of us that have had a good run, you know, like with a diet or an exercise program or our sobriety even, and then you start feeling like we're home free, right? But are we really? Because all it takes is one slip up and then we're back on that other track that's just on the other side. And, you know, it's very simple. So the question is why? Why is it so simple? Well, the answer is the human element, really. But let's get a little deeper than that. You know, why? Well, you know, it's easy to think, you know, basically that we're never going to get back to our old habits. It's easy to think that, especially if we've been on the right path for a long time. You know, it's easy to think that, you know, it'll be safe to dabble in our old habits every once in a while. A lot of people think that. They're like, you know, if I haven't had a drink in, you know, 10 years, you know, it's not going to hurt me if I have one. Well, sometimes it's all it takes for one person. You know, next thing you know, they're like, one didn't hurt me. I could go for one a week. One a week turns into two, turns into three. And, well, you know how that works. You know, so, you know, we tell ourselves that, you know, we've distanced ourselves from our bad habits, so it's safe to dip our toes into them every now and again. But in reality, it's not. Because as we continue to dabble and dip our toes into them, we just end up putting our feet and not just our toes back into the water. And the next thing you know, we're knee deep again. Next thing you know, you're shoulder deep and you're right back where you started. You know, it's easy to think that we're a different person. We were a different person back then. Which is why we're no longer capable of going back to our old habits. But that's just not true. It's just not true. You know, science, history, it all speaks for itself. You know, these beliefs and perceptions, you know, they lead us to a false sense of security, basically, you know, where we think that slipping back into our old habits is impossible. You know, we think it's impossible. We put on that Superman cape and we think it's impossible. we overcame it, you know, but returning to our old ways and our old habits, you know, is unfortunately it's something that's very, 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 very much possible. And it happens to a lot of people, unfortunately, on a regular basis. You know, something to be a reminder of is triggers of a conscious behavior that can relate to a physical trigger, you know, or a feeling. You know, that would be a reminder. Triggers of conscious behavior, you know, putting yourself in situations that could lead you back into things like that. Or could be a physical trigger or a feeling that would bring you back into it. Routines, behavior that are associated with those triggers. Doing something over and over and over again, that would be routine. Reward, you know, if you rewarded yourself that's associated with a behavior that makes it sick, you know, people do that quite a bit. An example would basically be, you know, think about, an example, maybe teaching a toddler to wash their hands after going to the toilet. You know, the reminder could be the flushing of the toilet. The routine could be washing the hands, and the reward could be, you know, the positive affirmation every time they do it. But all in all, this allows them to form a habit, right? I mean, that's the example. But how not to return to your bad habits is to identify and remove your triggers. You know, when or where does the bad habit happen? You know, is there anything in particular that sets it off? You know, these things you have to question yourself on. You know, you want to focus on why you want to change. You know, a lot of people say, well, do I really want to make goals for myself? Do I really want to change? Well, you know, if you don't, then, you know, there's really, you know, you're not going to. So you have to want to. So this is all about breaking those bad habits and making those goals. This could also apply to many different topics, to include addiction and alcohol abuse and other things. But this is, I'm really trying to stick on the topic of making goals and things and applying these to your life. But, you know, it's easier to change a bad habit if it's no longer valuable or beneficial to you. You know, if it doesn't give you any type of benefit, it's easier to break that habit. But if it's somehow giving you some sort of benefit, you're not going to change it. You know, if not planning a goal out and not reaping a reward from that goal does not give you any benefit, then you're not going to be encouraged, and you're not going to be inclined to continue or, you know, make goals for yourself and plan to be, you know, ultimately a better person and apply those things to your life and hopefully teach them to someone else, whether it be your children, a friend, or a family member, you know, moving forward with your life, you know. So, you know, you have to really focus on things like that, you know, and how that affects you. You know, and going back to accountability, you know, if you do have accountability, you should cheer on, you know, or if you're going through goals, maybe you're in a goal support group, you should cheer on each other's success and encourage each other, especially through your setbacks. You know, I know there's a lot of Facebook groups out there. I'm sure there's, you know, some Facebook groups out there that support goals and, you know, just bettering yourself as a person and stuff like that. But you should also be more mindful of your actions, you know. Helps you to be more aware of your thoughts and behavior, especially when it comes to planning your goals and focusing on your goals and progressing with that. It builds up your awareness of your routine, your behaviors, and your triggers that lead to not continuing to progress towards your goals, you know. So, you know, another good thing to do is to remind yourself of the goals you have. You know, don't just have it written down somewhere where you only see it every once in a while. Leave yourself sticky notes. You know, have it on your mobile app. It gives you reminders. Set things on your calendar to give yourself reminders, you know, or any type of other visual reminder, whether you stick something on the refrigerator or whatever. You know, those are all great things that will help you progress with moving forward and giving yourself great progression with building on your goals. So these reminders will help you rethink an action, especially if something's triggering you, something's not helping you progress, it's making you slide back, it's not helping you really build on your goal or on your goals. You know, but also prepare for those slip-ups. You know, we talked about those earlier. You know, it's very easy to slip back into your old patterns, particularly the new ones that aren't solidified yet. You know, change is hard. Change is hard. It's hard for anybody. You know, I've often heard the religious mind is the hardest mind to change. I'm beginning to think that, you know, maybe the political mind is one of the hardest ones to change. But no, I do still believe that the religious mind is one of the hardest ones to change. But remember, when you start making these goals and you start planning for a future that is full of goals, full of things that you want to accomplish, full of things that you want to accomplish for yourself, things for your personal family, for your immediate family, for your children, remember, it took a while to build up those habits, but when you accomplish those goals and you make those memories, you're never, ever, ever, you're never going to lose those goals. You're never, ever, ever going to lose those memories. All right, guys, so that's going to pretty much wrap up episode 2 of the Practical Spin on goals and applying things to your life to better yourself. I hope that you found this content on the show here to be something that's, you know, practical for you and something that's beneficial and, you know, something that's going to be something that you're able to apply to your life in a positive way. And I hope that the content of this episode has been something that has been entertaining as well as educational for you, and something that's been uplifting and progressive in your life, and it's something that you can apply. I look forward to producing more content for you in the future, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for joining us this week on The Practical Spin. Make sure to visit our website at thepracticalspin.com, where you can subscribe to the show in pretty much any format, so you'll never miss an episode. This has been The Practical Spin Podcast, encompassing everything practical and not so practical.